The Buffalo News Ice Time podcast is brought to you by Express Windows. Windows starting at $389 installed. Visit expresswindowsinc.com.
Welcome to a playoff edition of the Ice Time podcast here at BuffaloNews.com. Direct from Boston, I'm Mike Harrington, news sports columnist, joined by Sabres beat reporter Rachel Lindsay. With the Sabres having a little bit of an interlude in this series, they lead the Boston Bruins 2-1 after Thursday night's 3-1 victory. The next game is not until Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. in TD Garden. And Rachel, let's kind of think back here on Game 3 before we look ahead. The Sabres break through on the road, their first road playoff win since Game 5 in Philadelphia in 2011, the first road playoff game for several of the key guys on this roster. What were your initial thoughts on what happened in TD Garden on Thursday night?
Well, my first thought, we're going to jump to this topic eventually. Alex Lyon, he stepped into goal, he answered the bell, the team rallied around him as well. Second off, the Bruins again try to intimidate the Sabres. It's kind of like they're trying to play this big bad Bruins hockey and it's not working right now. And the Sabres bit back, but they didn't do it just through the physicality. They did it through scoring, creating scoring chances. You had rookie Noah Östlund playing his first game, first NHL playoff game as well. He stepped up on the third line and really created opportunities there also. And the other thing I noticed, this team, they were consistent. I think back to game two, and Lindy Ruff told us this morning he was not happy, and they were not happy with how the team played in game two, a 4-2 loss to Boston. But team came back, they played consistent, they played with a sense of urgency. They were not going to settle for being down 1-0. Let's go to Noah Östlund creating that pass from behind the goal to Bowen Byram to tie the game at 1-1 in the second period. Beautiful laser pass. Bowen Byram gets the wrist shot past Jeremy Swayman to score and really give the Sabres new life. And they rode that momentum and carried it all the way to the end of that game, all the way to Noah Östlund's empty net goal, where he deked out David Pastrnak for the empty net goal. What did you think of the game last night?
You jump on the power play situation continues to be an issue. Obviously, the Sabres are last in the NHL at 0-14 on the power play in the playoffs.
In playoffs, right. But and an 0-36 streak from since April 2nd.
Which is just inexcusable.
It's ridiculous. It's unbelievable.
You go the other way on the penalty kill, and it really is a key factor here. The Sabres are 10-12 in the postseason on the penalty kill. One of the two goals was David Pastrnak's garbage time one with 8 seconds left in game one, so that really doesn't even count. They were 4-4 in game three. We saw a lot of block shots, Timmins, Samuelson, among others. McLeod won some faceoffs, and they killed two penalties in the last 10 minutes of this game, a terrible interference call on Rasmus Dahlin and a tripping call on Tage Thompson. They got both of those killed. Alex Lyon made a few saves. There weren't a lot of high-danger chances. There were some long-range shots, especially on the Thompson penalty. But it just struck me, and Lindy Ruff brought it up on Friday, they were in the shot lanes. There was no panic in the penalty kill. The unit was really tight to the puck, and it just seemed like the confidence was very high. And we both, sitting in the press box, could hear the banging on the boards when there was a block shot and the celebration from that club. Just how did you get the sense that the Sabres were not going to be denied at the end of that game and they were not going to let a power play create a tying goal for the Bruins?
As soon as Rasmus Dahlin was called for that penalty, you know, we were kind of like, whoa, interference? Because he bounced off the opposing player, and he said, who's that going to be against? So you and I looked at each other and said, how the heck is that a penalty? I mean, it was, you saw limbs flying and skates in the air and whatnot. And I said, how is that an interference penalty on Dahlin? At first, I thought it was a cross-checking penalty, but they're calling the penalties the letter of the law, not to the spirit of it right now so far. But I said, well, they got to kill this one off. This is a pretty important kill. And then a few minutes later, Tage Thompson gets called for tripping. And I said, well, there's their other best player on offense. They got the best player on defense in the box, best player on offense in the box. It's almost like the penalty kill was on for 4 or 5 consecutive minutes as well, too. And the penalty kill played very strategically. Again, the faceoffs by Ryan McLeod in the defensive zone. You know, we talk about how faceoffs is kind of a weird statistic. You can't take them all in a lump sum. You have to look at situational faceoffs. that was a situational faceoff. Those were situational faceoffs for Ryan McLeod to win those key possessions and, you know, get those draws, get time with the puck. You're guaranteed it when you win a faceoff. Tyson Kozak even had a pretty valuable faceoff there as well during late in the game also. So there was that. But I just said, if they can kill these two penalties off, then they're going to win this game. They are, you know, and especially I think about Pasternak, Zacha, Morgan Geeky. They kind of have those big first two lines as well too. And I said, yeah, again, if they kill these two penalties off, they're in good shape. And it showed me a lot. They killed off these two penalties in crunch time with a one goal lead. We go back to, I think back to back in the, earlier in the season when the Sabres would give up a two goal lead in the third period or one goal lead in the third period. And they were like, all right, fine, next game. This team, they refuse to do that now. That is unacceptable for this team. And they're playing to that capability as well, especially now in the playoffs and on the road. Remember, the road used to be such a problem for this team earlier in the season.
Well, and it goes into the next topic here.
Upgrade your home with Express Windows, your local source for windows, doors, and siding. Window installation starts at just $389 with a lifetime warranty on parts and labor. Our streamlined process delivers the fastest installation in just 5 to 7 weeks. From consultation to cleanup, our pros make it easy, affordable, and built to last. Visit ExpressWindowsInc.com to get started today. Express Windows, value, speed, and craftsmanship for every home.
Your best penalty killer is your goaltender. Alex Lyon made some big saves early in the game. There were a couple one-timers that he was in the right position for later in the game in some of these PK opportunities. They weren't the high-level saves, but this was a charged moment where Lindy Ruff had to make the decision. After Luukkonen had one bad period in six periods in the first two games, a terrible second period in game two, made the decision to go to Alex Lyon, and most teams do not do this in the playoffs. But we expected the Sabres probably would because of the way the regular season went. Now, I was looking through some of the stats here. Do you realize now that Luukkonen has won a game and Lyon has won a game, the Sabres have not played a playoff series where two goalies had a victory in the series since 1999 when they beat the Leafs in the Eastern Conference Final when Dominic Hasek and Dwayne Roloson both registered wins. So it's not the norm for Lindy Ruff. It's not the norm for this franchise. But you knew that Alex Lyon was sitting in wait, so to speak, and was ready to go if Luukkonen stumbled. So I guess the first thing I want to know from you, how surprised were you, a lot or not at all, that Lyon went in? And then just what did you think of just how good and how confident he looked in the crease virtually the whole game?
Okay, that's a two-part question. I'm going to answer the first part. What did I think when Alex Lyon went in? I'm not going to lie. I thought, oh no, you got to go with UPL. Don't hurt his confidence in the playoffs. Do that. I'm the, you know, give the guy another chance. Be forgiving. But when Alex Lyon went in, when I saw him in the starting, when I saw him in the starter's net yesterday morning in Boston, I said, you know what? All right, cool. Because Alex Lyon has built his currency in the NHL on being a guy who can step in any situation, whether it's you come in after a 4-0 deficit, you know, team's a 4-0 deficit, they give up that fourth goal, you know, whether someone gets hurt and he has to be the number one goalie or he's got to step in at a pinch. That is why the Sabres signed Alex Lyon as a free agent in July to not just be a backup to Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, but to be that guy who can come in a pinch. He is a 10-11 year pro hockey veteran. He has played in so many situations. He has played in the NHL playoffs with the Florida Panthers 3 years ago. In the AHL playoffs, he helped Chicago win a Calder Cup a few years ago. He's ridden the buses in the AHL and the ECHL. He's a Yale guy. You know, he's from northern Minnesota. He's probably one of the most resourceful hockey players I have ever met. And he stakes his game on survival and evolution. You know, I wrote a story about him back in November. Big story. Look it up on buffalonews.com. Shameless plug for the story about how Alex Lyon just, he laughed. He says, I liken myself to a cockroach. I said, you know, you rip off a limb, he grows another one and survives. He can survive a nuclear, you know, meltdown. He can forge his way through a bad situation and make the most of a good situation. And in this one, it was just, he had his number called. He was ready. He's like, all right, let's do this. And it was funny after the game, you know, so it was one of the reporters asked him, do you get nervous? And he said, oh, yeah, I get nervous after every game. I get nervous for the blue and white scrimmage. I get nervous before game five. You know, I get nervous. I was like, wow, this guy sounds like me, but walking into an arena. I was like, I feel that, Alex. I feel it. But that's normal to me. When someone has that sense of nerves, it just shows how much you invest and how much you care in the craft of what you do and you want to do it well. And Alex Lyon did his job. And frankly, I'm going to change my tune a little bit. They got to go with Alex Lyon and ride him until, you know, it's time to put UPL back in. There is no choice at this point.
You know, and I kind of laugh about the idea that he was nervous.
Nervous.
I get it. But the way he played, I mean, he's gone viral for his chirping of Tanner Janot and Victor Arvidsson here in this series. And, you know, there are several, let's just say a few four-letter words thrown in there that have been very obvious on social media that have been hilarious. Alex Lyon likes to talk. He likes to talk to us. He likes to talk to his teammates. And we're seeing this series. He likes to talk to the Boston Bruins. He's not adverse to getting involved in some of the gamesmanship that goes on in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And it's making for some good entertainment.
He's, you know, he's an eloquent Yale guy in so many senses of the word. And I didn't even mention Alex Lyon. You brought up Tanner and Janot and Victor Arvidsson. He played that penalty shot against Victor Arvidsson so well. And it was kind of a fluke play that set up the penalty shot. Mattias Samuelsson goes to stop the puck and clear it, and his stick breaks. So he tries to kick the puck out of the Sabres defensive zone. Victor Arvidsson comes in, picks up the puck, and Rasmus Dahlin hooks him on the play as he's driving to the net, which sets up the penalty shot. And I went, oh, geez, here we go. And the crazy thing was, Victor Arvidsson goes in to take the penalty shot. Alex Lyon didn't even have to make a save. All he had to do was play the right angles and be smart about it. Again, Yale guy, be smart about it and strategic. Cut it down. If Victor Arvidsson would have scored on that penalty shot, we would be having a totally different conversation today. I guarantee you of that. But Alex Lyon smarts, his resourcefulness, and maybe a little bit of trash talking in there too, really got Victor Arvidsson off his game in that one crucial moment.
You know, call me a dinosaur if you might, but the composite sticks. We saw Thompson blow up a stick, Samuelsson at the worst time. Back in the day, back in my day, that didn't happen with your wood co-host.
The old wood show, the old Sherwoods, right? The Christians and the big sticks, right?
Come on.
These things were built to last, man. They were.
The Samuelsson play was just ridiculous. I mean, the guy's just trying to clear the puck out of the zone and the stick explodes. I mean,
and earlier in the season, I think I even said to you, God, that's like three, four games in a row, we've seen someone's stick break as well. You know, technology is not foolproof, even in the NHL.
Not always, no.
No.
All right.
No.
So,
before I forget, happy May Day. Forgot to wish you that.
Happy May Day. And
happy
you notice
Mike.
Thank you. On BuffaloNews.com, just about half an hour before we taped this podcast, I tweeted out the story we did on the 25th anniversary in 2018, April 24th, 2018, 25th anniversary of Brad May's overtime goal against the Boston Bruins, with the memories of Brad May and, of course, the memories of the incomparable Rick Jenneret, who reminded us and reminded me there was no plan for any call of Brad May. The guy hadn't scored a goal in about 7 weeks until the night he put the puck in the net. So, yeah, as we sit here in Boston in another playoff series against the Bruins, you think back to what is now 33 years ago, the Brad May overtime goal that created the Game 4 sweep against the Bruins and ended the Sabres' 10-year drought. There's that word again. 10-year drought of first-round playoff defeats. So, yes, happy May Day to you, Rachel.
Happy May Day. And my little pop culture reference of the podcast, did Brad May win the did he win Canada's Amazing Race? I didn't tune in. I was wondering if he did.
No,
or not.
He did not win Canada.
He did
Brad
not.
May
oh,
and his daughter.
You bested me on a pop culture reference.
Yeah,
wow.
Brad May and his daughter were on Amazing Race Canada. They were eliminated. I am aware of that.
Yeah. All right. Good to know.
Now, back to the current Sabres Bruins matchup. One of the things that developed here was Josh Norris came up injured again. We don't know if it was the hit in game one where he seemed to go head first into the end boards. I'm guessing it probably was.
And
Friday,
there was the concussion spotter for that, if in fact it was the thing.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I cannot believe a concussion spotter would not take Josh Norris out of the game on that hit, but that did not happen.
And I think back to that Edmonton game when Colton Ellis got hit and they immediately yanked him out of the game. Water and it did, yeah. You know, it was the end of the first period in Edmonton as well.
Right.
And you hear about all these stories about what's called post-concussion syndrome. I am not a doctor. I am not diagnosing anything for Josh Norris, but I'm just going on the past. It was something that Sidney Crosby, I believe, went through as well about 15 years ago.
Right.
I wonder if maybe, again, this is total supposition. I'm not a doctor, not take this personally. I'm wondering if maybe there's some post-concussion issues that have kicked in, or maybe it's something else. As we know, Josh Norris is an injury-prone dude.
So on Friday, Lindy Ruff said Norris is a possibility to practice on Saturday, mm-hmm. which would make him a possibility to play on Sunday, which would also, if he doesn't, it's a possibility he doesn't play. So we'll have to see. But what happened in Game 3 was the Sabres made the move that people were hoping for. Noah Austlin goes back in the lineup after being out with an injury since March. First career playoff game. Makes the play to Bowen Byram, a great pass for the first goal. Makes the play on the empty net goal. Beats the Bruins down the ice. Takes the flip from Jack Quinn. Puts it between the legs of David Pastrnak as Lindy Ruff deadpanned. That scouting report on Pastrnak when he's in the crease is go 5-0 on him. First
David
game
Pastrnak is Noah, no Alex Lyon.
No. First game for Noah Osland, a guy, a former number one pick, taken with the number one pick acquired in the Jack Eichel trade. What did you think about the boost that that kid gave this team in a really critical game?
He did what guys on those third and fourth lines need to do in the playoffs. And we've talked about this before, how teams are immediately going to go to shut down the first line, maybe the second line. We haven't really seen that. I mean, Alex Tuch had that goal last night, that go-ahead goal. So first line, right wing. But Noah Osland did what guys on those lower lines need to do. Provide the scoring punch when the top lines are shut down. If he's a +2 as well, that's another big thing. He played a two-way game, won a couple face-offs, even blocked a shot as well. He was that spark plug at center. And I asked Lindy this morning, the fact that Noah Osland was able to go and plug in and play, and step in. Also, remember, he hasn't played in 12 games, 10 regular season games, 2 playoff games because of an upper body injury he sustained at the end of March against Boston. He stepped in. He rose to the occasion. Remember, he does have some playoff experience. He played in the Swedish league. I'm going to butcher the name if I try to say the name of his name. It's the team. It starts with a V and has an X and a J. I'm going to butcher it. Played with the Amerks last year in the playoffs as well. So he was ready. He laughed and said he was a little nervous about it, but the nerves go away quickly once you get on the ice. And he stepped in and basically took on the role that Josh Norris was supposed to play, but Josh Norris was sitting up in the press box near us as well. And again, I'm not going to diagnose anything for Josh Norris, but we saw the versatility of Noah Osland as well. We've seen him play at left wing for about 15, 20 games this season as well, too. But he slipped back into center. He worked, I think, seamlessly with Zach Benson and Josh Doan. And again, that pass that he gave to Bowen Byram from behind the net to set up that shot from the right circle that tied the game was just, it was sublime, for lack of a better term.
Bowen Byram said, was asked, do you think you just expect those kind of passes to come from the kid and you'll be there for him? And he said, no, I didn't expect that pass to get through at all. So Bowen Byram was surprised by that as well. And it was a big play at the time because the Sabres, until Byram's goal, had not scored in the first or second period in any game in this series to this point. So they needed to break off of that. They had fallen behind 1-0 for the third straight game, and that got them back even. And then it brought us to the third period, which I thought was probably their best overall period of the series to this point. Mm-hmm. So now you're in a situation where the Sabres have a 2-1 lead. Game 4, Sunday at 2:00. And the Boston Bruins really are under the gun here. If the Sabres can pull out Game 4, they get to come home to KeyBank Center for a potential closeout game Tuesday night. So I would think you're going to see the absolute storming best of the Boston Bruins on Sunday afternoon, as in they think they are going to need to win this game to save their season. And if they do, holy cow, now you're looking at a 2-2 series and a 2 out of 3. So
it was
talk
best
about
of three.
A swing game.
Yeah.
Talk about a swing game four. What do you expect from the Bruins in this one?
Here's what I don't like throwing around this term in the playoffs, but in a way, this is a pivotal game four. The Sabres could go up 3-1. The Bruins could tie the series at 2-2. I expect them to come out fired up. I expect them to come out mean and trying to push around the Sabres. Again, the Sabres have to push back. I expect a game similar to game one, similar to Tampa Bay as well. I expect the Bruins to settle for nothing, but we're going to come in and push these guys around as well. And I expect the Sabres to say, all right, we're going to push back because they got to do this. I mean, this is one of those moments where we're going to see what the Sabres. But this is one of those moments where we're going to learn what the Sabres are made of, not the Bruins, the Sabres. They're up 2-1. Are they going to protect the 2-1 lead? If they lose it, it's unacceptable. You know,
if the Bruins come into this game thinking they're going to get what they want by pushing the Sabres around, I just think they're crazy. They should know by this point that's not going to work. The Sabres have proven that against other teams, too. The idea they're going to push them around, that's a Bruins mentality thing.
It is.
But in this series, it hasn't come through at all. It hasn't shown its way. I do think you're right in that. Holy cow. If they don't give the absolute best game they have, what's the point of the Bruins being in this series? Because I think the Bruins are right there. If you were to ask the Bruins, I'm sure they're stunned that they're losing in this series. I think the numbers are something along the lines of 86-plus minutes that the Bruins have a lead. I know the number is the Sabres have led in this series for 19 minutes and 21 seconds.
It's a very low number. And if I'm the Bruins, I am mad right now. I'm down 2-1. You know, that is unacceptable for the Bruins as well. That is, and I think it's up to Marco Sturm, you know, to start playing the game within the game with his team and not worry about the Sabres right now. Worry about that, but take care of your own house first, Marco.
Now, I didn't think David Pastrnak was as dangerous in Game 3 as he was in Games 1 and 2. I didn't think the Bruins' second line, Zacha, Mittelstadt, Arvidsson obviously missed the penalty shot. They weren't as dangerous at times as they were in Game 2 either. I look at the defense of both of these two teams. Dahlin is struggling. It's his first playoffs. Lindy talked about it Friday. Dahlin has one assist in three games. Charlie McAvoy, I think we're close to needing to put him on a milk carton in this series. I haven't seen much from Charlie McAvoy in this. He hasn't had any impact on these games. And, you know, I was on another podcast today, Rachel, and one of the things we talked about is all teams. Some of these guys who have played in the Four Nations Faceoff last year and the Olympics this year are just simply not doing a lot in the playoffs.
Are they
and
exhausted I think at this some point?
Some of these guys are really going on fumes because mm-hmm. they've played so many high-level games and then just so many quantity of regular season games and then maybe last year's playoffs as well. So that's another thing to watch is certain guys. The Sabres obviously haven't been in the playoffs, but how do Dahlin and Thompson hold up? How mm-hmm. does Charlie McAvoy hold up? How does Pastrnak hold mm-hmm. up here? It's a factor going through the playoffs that people are looking at. And so far in this series, some of the big, big, big names, Thompson obviously imposed his will on game one, but, you know, Pastrnak's been good, but McAvoy and Dahlin have not had that kind of offensive impact you expect. And at some point you wonder which one, if either one, can break through and really make some impact here.
Right. And you wonder about that. I my first thought, again, exhaustion. Are they running on fumes right now? Do they need something? Because how, you know, you go overseas, you win how many games, you play how many games. In the United States, you come back, you partied at 11 afterwards. That takes a lot out of you to go to a 24-hour nightclub and rip it up with all your boys. But it's a very good point. You know, I think about it. I said, if you are lucky enough to make the Stanley Cup final in a given year, you pay, 100, 110 games a season? That wears on your body. That wears on your mind. You know, and then maybe, you know, you've got the preseason you've got to come back to as well, too. And you do wonder, and I didn't even think about this, about is it catching up with these guys? Is the preseason? And Dahlin, think about all the emotional things he's gone through with his fiance as well, too. That carries an emotional heft and can be draining as well. And Caroline is here in the United States. I don't know, is she still here in the United States? I'm guessing she is.
I would assume she's going to be.
here for a while.
She's going to be sticking around through the playoffs.
And that takes a lot out of you as well, too. So you do want to earn again. If these guys are starting to run out of gas and they know their bodies better than anybody, you know, are they communicating and say, hey, we need other guys to step up. We need other guys to take on roles. This is where the versatility and the multitasking of this team and their ability to do that is really going to come into play, especially if they want to make a long run.
So the week ahead, the Sabres and Bruins Sunday at 2 o'clock in Game 4. Game 5, Tuesday at 7:30 at KeyBank Center. We'll see if that could possibly be the last game. We could be back here in Boston for Game 6 on Thursday night. These playoffs, you know, you start running into the back and forth, the end of a series, and, you know, it really becomes a battle of wills here. And obviously we're watching what's going on around the league. Certainly we're watching the Tampa Bay-Montreal series, which is only 1-1 through two games so far.
Two games into that series? God!
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of game threes on Friday night. The Sabres and Bruins a little bit ahead now.
Down 3-0 to the Flyers as well. You know what? Utah's down 3-0 as well.
No, it's LA is down 3-0.
LA is down 3-0. I'm like, you know, everybody says, oh, are you watching the series? I'm like, I'm watching one series, the one that I have to care about and write about every day.
So there are three teams that are down 3-0, though.
Yep. Pittsburgh, LA.
Ottawa's down 3-0 to Carolina. LA is down 3-0 to Colorado, and the big surprise, Pittsburgh being down 3-0 to Philadelphia. So those three teams are up against it, and you would think they're going to be out of it quickly. The Sabres and Bruins, we'll find out. Game 4, the big swing game here, I think ultimately will either determine the end of the series for the Boston Bruins or that the Sabres could be looking at, you know, Game 7 here at some point. So we've seen this in the past, and let me bring up last point here, Rachel, the word drought. I hate bringing up the D word, but I got to bring it up here to remind people. The Sabres are still looking to break a drought. They can lead the league in the longest drought for winning a postseason series. They have not won one since they beat the Rangers in the second round in 2007. And that is another subplot of what they're trying to do here against the Boston Bruins in this series.
Mike, where were you in the spring of 2007 during that last playoff series win for the Sabres?
Actually, I was in the press box as Guy 5 for the Buffalo News covering the home games in that series. I actually was in there at the start of my time covering the Sabres, being Guy 4 and 5 against the, who was 2007? It was the Islanders with Ted Nolan, followed by the Rangers, and then followed by the loss to Ottawa in Game 5 of the conference final on Daniel Alfredson's overtime goal. But, yeah, so I've kind of been in a similar range of three or four seats in that press box dating all the way back to 2006 and 2007. No playoff wins since. We're going to see if the Sabres can pull one out here against the Boston Bruins. We are in Boston. Rachel and I will have all the coverage from Game 4, and as long as this series goes, in the Buffalo News and at buffalonews.com. For Rachel Lindsay, this is Mike Harrington. Follow it all from the Buffalo News. Thanks for watching and listening.
Express Windows is a best of 716 favorite for window and door installation. They also offer discounts for military personnel and seniors. Learn more at expresswindowsinc.com. Express Windows. Fast, easy, affordable.